We're going to do our very best to look at God's Word together, and I'll try to stay on script. Sometimes I get a little carried away, and I'm just going to try to stay on script today and get through what we need to. And hope it's a blessing. Trust that God will take, despite our circumstances, He'll continue to work in our midst and in your hearts. It really is, we're really doing better than most of the world. We're not meeting in a thatched roof church today with the humidity of the Sahara blowing down on us, right? There could be worse situations, right? So let's give thanks. We will in just a moment as we pray together. Look at the subject, the gift of exhortation today. Shall we pray together? Father, bless us now as we meet together around your word. Lord, you've chosen this avenue to get your truth across to your people. And we're up against some challenges with the warmth in this room. And Lord, already Sunday mornings are difficult for folk to stay awake. So I pray for your mercies that will not be hindered, the devil will not get victory, and that each life will be impacted by your word. Just now, we ask for your favor. And thank you for caring for our church family. Thank you for the plans that you have for us. We rest in you, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm in Romans chapter 12, and if you haven't already turned there, I'd like to invite you to go with me to that passage, because I want to pick up now. We're at the midpoint in Paul's list of church gifts or spiritual gifts given to the church. And according to Paul, every person in the church has a spiritual gift, some means by which you can serve the rest of the body for their benefit and the expansion of God's kingdom. So today we come to the gift of exhortation. We read about it in Romans chapter 12, verse number 8. He that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We'll come to those in order. There are seven in the list. We're on number 4 today. The gift of exhortation. Now, what comes to your mind when you hear exhortation? Maybe you think about preaching. And actually, of the New Testament, the word is used on occasion to refer to part of preaching is exhorting people. But how is that a spiritual gift? And what does that word exhort mean? We don't use it very much today. You know, one of the things I thought about exhort, when I just casually thought about the word, I thought of a man outside of a big top circus tent, right? And he's out there waving and saying, "Come on inside, get 2 tickets for a price of 1. You want to see what's going on inside the big top." And he's exhorting you to get inside. Or think about maybe about 50, 60 years ago on a street corner in a city, a boy would be standing next to a stack of papers and he would be saying, "Extra, extra, read all about it." And you'd be, all right, he's exhorting you to do what? He wants you to buy a paper. And you come and get your paper and he's satisfied, and hopefully you are too, with the news. But both of those definitions really center around what the word means today, which means strong appeal. And while exhortation can involve strong appeal, in the New Testament it seems to be a little bit more subtle than that. And that'll make sense in a little bit, because the word really means to call alongside or to summon someone to you. Summon, call. And I'll develop the definition in just a moment, but it's a little bit more subtle than those examples that I just gave you. So let's consider this ministry gift of exhortation. And I want you, as we walk through this, to consider, is it possible that this is my spiritual gift? Maybe this is the way I ought to be ministering to people. God has something He wants me to do. I'm not just here filling up space. And you're not just here on this church to put money in an offering plate for a building fund. That's not why we exist. We're ministering to one another. We're serving the body of Christ. There's something spiritually that I can do to be a blessing to the rest of the people of God. And I ought to be about that. So if your gift is exhorting, then do exhortation. Let's talk about that. The first way I want you to consider that today, number one, let's sketch this idea of what an exhorter means according to the Bible. What does it mean? Let's sketch it out this way. The word exhort literally means, and go ahead and throw that first bullet up there, but it means to come alongside for the purpose of comforting, encouraging, or instructing. And it's kind of like the ministry of the Holy Spirit. An exhorter comes along and calls a person to his side and wants that person to do something. In fact, you're in Romans 12, right? Look at your text. go back to verse number 1 because the word already appeared in this chapter. Verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. And then it goes on. But the word beseech is the most frequent translation in your Bible for the word exhort in our text. Beseech, to come alongside, to call over to you, to encourage someone. In fact, Jesus taught this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are familiar with the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you if you're a believer, and you've experienced His ministry to you. In fact, Jesus called Him in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16. We won't look at all the references, but He called Him the Comforter. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. This word, Comforter, is same as beseech, is same as exhort. I know it sounds like it's a wide range of definitions there. Exhort means to beseech, to comfort, to come alongside, to summon someone who needs to be called over or to follow the Lord or to develop spiritually. So exhortation is actually a word referring to the Holy Spirit. Now, if you know what the Holy Spirit is and what how He ministers to you, then this word exhort isn't a problem. In fact, that verse 26 of chapter 14 says, He shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. Part of being an exhorter is teaching and reminding people of things they ought to be doing or things they've already learned. And isn't that what the Holy Spirit does to you? You're out and about, and you're doing something, you're about to step some way, and suddenly the Holy Spirit puts a thought, you know, you just learned something about that on Sunday that you ought not be doing that. And He's reminding you of that, and He's asking you to make a decision about that. Are you going to obey God, or are you going to obey yourself and follow through? And so you take His, and is He shouting at you? Does the Holy Spirit shout at you? The Holy Spirit lives in me, doesn't shout. It's just kind of a gentle little nudge. You going to do that, or are you going to do right? Right? That's what He does. That's the ministry of an exhorter. So if you think about the Holy Spirit, how He reminds you of things and teaches you things and encourages you to do things and not do other things, that's the ministry of an exhorter. Think about your own spiritual journey. I bet you can probably think of a couple people that have been very instrumental in your spiritual growth. Somebody who called you along inside and said, hey, let's go to breakfast. We need to talk. And they've encouraged you spiritually, maybe did a Bible study with you. Maybe sometimes somebody sat down over a meal and said, you know, I know this is going on in your life, and I know this wouldn't be pleasing to the Lord. Are you really sure you want to continue down this path? Boy, that's the ministry of an exhorter. That's kind of what the Holy Spirit does. And I've benefited by people that have done that. I've sat across the table from somebody who pinned me down one time about something that was going on, and I knew I had to repent and get right with God about it. It was so helpful. And He exhorted me in a way I needed to be exhorted. And most of you in your spiritual journey have somebody, whether you realized He was an exhorter or not, has done this for you. Here's another example. You know a little bit about the Holy Spirit. I'm assuming that because of your relationship with the Lord. But here's another New Testament example. His name is Barnabas. We've talked about him actually about 8 months ago. Oh man, it's almost been 12 months ago. Last August, I did a sermon on Barnabas, the encourager. In Acts chapter number 4, we read this about Barnabas, whose name is Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, or nicknamed, we would call that. He's the son of consolation. The word consolation is the same word exhortation or tax, and gives us a different nuance on this word. He's a Levite. He's of the country of Cyprus. He is a New Testament figure who's always trying to speak the right word, to comfort somebody, to move them along spiritually in the right direction. Let me give you two examples of how Barnabas did this in the life of people. The first one is a man named Saul. He's on the road to Damascus. He's converted. He goes to Damascus, receives his sight back. After leaving Damascus, which he has to be delivered from Damascus after preaching, through a basket over the wall. Some of you remember what I'm talking about? Or are you gone to sleep already? All right? So Saul comes over the wall in a basket. He tries to go to Jerusalem, and be accepted by the church down there because other people don't want him. So he tries to get some solace from the disciples. Here's what happens. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They're thinking, man, this persecutor of the church who went to Damascus to persecute Christians, he's got a new strategy. What he'll do is he'll just pretend that he's like a Christian. He'll blend into our church. He'll find out all the names of our people, and then he'll bring his honchos over, and he'll just take us all. And so they were really cautious about Saul the persecutor and would not allow him in. But who comes to his side? Barnabas. No, no, no. You need to hear his testimony. You see, this man was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord spoke to him. I want to tell you that he received his sight under a prophet named Ananias in Damascus. I want to tell you, he preached boldly for Christ in Damascus. You can trust this man. Who stood up for him? The man is Barnabas, who was an exhorter. He came alongside and encouraged Barnabas and the church to receive him. Now, another example has to do with Barnabas's cousin. His name is John Mark. And he came alongside John Mark and said, John Mark, why don't you go with Paul and I on a missionary journey? And so Barnabas and Paul are going on their first missionary journey. They go through Cyprus. They cross north from Cyprus into southern day Turkey to an area called Pamphylia. And at that point, John Mark says, I'm out of here. Well, later, Barnabas wants to give him another shot. Come on, I know it was rough the first time, but you can do it, John Mark. Why don't you come with us on the second missionary journey? And this is what happened. Barnabas determined to take with them John, or John, whose surname is Mark, who incidentally we believe is responsible for penning the second gospel in your Bible called Mark, whose surname was Mark. And Paul thought not to, good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So he kind of washed out halfway, not even halfway into the trip. He goes back home. We don't know the reason, but it probably wasn't a good one because Paul didn't want to have anything else to do with him. So who stands up for John Mark? Who wants to give him a second chance? Who wants to say, yes, you can? Let's give it another shot. Who's that person? It's Barnabas. Barnabas is an exhorter. He is an encourager. That ought to bring pretty good clarity. We're talking about an exhorter is someone like the Holy Spirit who subtly, gently nudges people in the right direction. We're talking about a person like Barnabas who stands up for people and helps them along spiritually. That is the ministry of an exhorter. It's not necessarily, though it can be done from the pulpit. I really think this is a ministry that's done one-on-one, side-by-side with another person. So I want you to consider, number two, the skills of an exhorter. What does an exhorter do? This ought to be helpful to you as you think about the spiritual gift. How does it really function? And I've already kind of led you along and tipped my hand, and this will make sense in a moment. First of all, it's to stand alongside another person, another Christian. This is exactly what Barnabas did. He stood alongside Saul, and he came alongside John Mark, and he stood up for them when nobody else was willing to come to their side. He sided with the weaker brother. Let me give you a modern day somewhat modern day illustration of this. This dates back to the middle part of the 20th century. His name, there's a chief justice by the name of Charles Evans Hughes. He was appointed chief justice of the Supreme Court. He moved to Washington and transferred his membership to a Baptist church because he was the son of a Baptist pastor and wanted to keep up his membership, which is what you ought to always do. If you move away from here, you ought to find another good Baptist church and get involved and grow in the Lord. This is what the justice does, Charles Evans Hughes. The custom of that church is when they were inviting new members that they would call the names of the new members like we did recently with Dory, who just joined our church, called her up to the front. And they would line up the new members across the church so everybody could see who they were and know to greet them and welcome them to the church. Well, first of all, the first man's name called was Ah Sing. He was a Chinese laundryman who had moved from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. and set up a little laundry there in Washington, D.C. He lined up on one side of the platform over here like this. That as other names were called, for whatever reason, I don't know that there was any ill will intended, but everybody else lined up on the other side of the platform. So by the time the justice's name was called, Charles Evan Hughes, there was all these people on one side And Ah Sing, all by himself, the Chinese laundryman, standing over here by himself. And in a show of great humility and godly character, when Mr. Hugh's name was called, he got up and he went over and stood beside Ah Sing and made a public statement that when it comes to the kingdom of God, we're all equals. We're all part of this church. And immediately, obviously, his testimony went across the whole congregation. And you know what? That's a moving and it's a touching story, but I don't want you to miss the point of application for each of us. We've been in church for a while. We have all the people we're comfortable with. We know the people we're not comfortable with. And we kind of circle our wagons with our favorite people on a given Sunday, and we let, whether it's intentional or unintentional, I'm not saying it was necessarily intentional, but we can easily leave one or two people over there that nobody talks to, nobody visits with, and they feel that. Well, Jesus taught us different. He taught us to love one another, to value every person. And I think those with the spiritual gift of exhorter, they're like Charles Hughes. They can spot the odd man out, the man who's standing by or woman standing by herself, and go over to them. That's an exhorter's calling. It's his gift. And I think if I try to boil down the sermon, I'm really trying to get this. Exhorters turn weary souls into winning saints. And that involves coming to the side of those who are left all by themselves. So a skill of an exhorter is, number one, to stand alongside another. The other thing is, the next thing is to say the right word. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. It's the perfect setting. You don't put gold in a setting of a log cabin. You put it in a setting of silver. It fits. And that's the idea of the proverb, right? When you say just the right word, it just fits. It's the right word at the right time. And I think a Christian who's got the gift of exhorting is able to say the right thing and is able to discern the right time to say it. Words are so powerful. You know, we have these little slogans, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But there's power in words and names that people use. I always think, when I think about the power of words, I think about the God who spoke the worlds into existence. Great power in words. And there's great power in your words as a Christian. Not necessarily to create the world, but to encourage another believer. And don't think that it just has to be something you say over a cup of coffee or those gorgeous banana nut muffins that we had delivered this morning. We have all kinds of ways, because of modern technology, to pick up our phones and text somebody and said, you know, I was just thinking of you today and I prayed for you. Hope you're doing okay. That's an encouraging, exhorting kind of word. You know, so sometimes I just sit down and it takes a little bit more time to do this, but I'll actually write a letter to somebody in the church and say, you know, I've been thinking about you. I've been praying for you. Often do this with people that are casual attenders here. Send them little notes reminding them that we're thinking about them. You know, a little note or a little card saying, I'm thinking about you, or I was praying for you. We have people in our church that do this. Some of you have been on the receiving end, right? Rose did this for a while, and Karen's doing it now. And you've gotten a little card in the mail saying, we missed you on Sunday. Hope everything's going okay. Love to see you next week. And we're just trying to say, hey, you're important to us. We're exhorting you. Stay faithful to the Lord. Stay in church. And aren't you grateful that someone is thinking about you? And so, what an important ministry. But don't think that's just delegated to Rose or to Karen. We ought to all, as a church family, be doing this for one another, serving in that way. But for an exhorter, I mean, it's more than just a good idea. I mean, it's the passion. This is what I live to do. I want to encourage people to follow God. All right, here's one more that I think is part of this whole equation of being an exhorter. And that's to speak up about danger. To speak up about danger. And I get this from what Paul wrote in his letter to the Thessalonians when he was describing exhortation and their ministry one to another in this particular church. He said, now we exhort you, same word incidentally, brethren, here's some things you ought to be doing for one another. Warn the unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Let's take the first one, warn the unruly. You know, I almost thought when I was making the message and getting it together for you this week, I'll just call this the gift of encouragement. And actually, there is a translation, a modern translation. If you're holding the NIV, it does translate this word in Romans 12, verse 8, as encourage. But all the other ones that I regularly consult, the King James, the New King James, and the New American Standard, all stick with exhort. And I had to wonder why. Why didn't they all go to encourage too? And I think that's because there is an edge to this word exhort that encourage doesn't. Encourage is kind of, that's just like a soft pedal word, isn't it? Just I'll just always say nice things and butterflies and sunshine and sunflowers and etc., right? That's the word encourage. There's an edge to exhort. Sometimes you have to appeal to people to do the right thing because they're not doing it. And encourage doesn't communicate that idea. Exhort does. You have to warn people about the danger. One Bible teacher put it this way. Exhorters are able to shoot an arrow of truth into a person's heart while remaining tactful and encouraging at the same time. Well, let's just do a little bit of assessment. I mean, aren't there times when a teenager might get a little off track and be heading down a destructive path? I'm here for you. If it doesn't work out, come on back. Is that what you do? Don't you just get into their life and as lovingly as you possibly can? Don't do this to yourself. Do you know where you're headed? Do you know what's the outcome of this? I know my other family members did this. Don't you do this, right? And you're trying to be as lovingly as possible about it. And it's not just teenagers, right? Some of us adults get some wacky ideas. Like, I've already spent 28 years with that woman. I think I'm ready to try another one. Now we're getting personal. We get wacky ideas, and you know what? We need another Christian that comes alongside and says something like, hey, you know what? This might sound like a good idea to you right now, but it is not the right idea. You are not heading down a good path. I want to encourage you. I'm exhorting you. Come back and follow God's ways, and in the end, there'll be a payoff if you do things His way. This is part of the ministry of an exhorter. It is having courage to go to somebody and say, nah, I don't think that's really the best pathway to go. Speaking up about danger. Hopefully that's helpful. Now let's talk about, do you have the gift of exhortation? Now, we've done this with each of the gifts, so I just want you to assess through some questions whether or not this might be your gift. Hope this helps. We're just trying not just, more than just teaching about this, I really want you to assess, is this my gift? First question, are you comfortable standing alongside someone that others have given up on or somebody that's failed and come to their side the way Barnabas did just to help them gain their footing? Could you be with somebody that everybody else has kind of given up on? And this happens in Christian circles, right? Somebody has a moral failure. Somebody does something that brings shame to the name of Christ. And you know what we Christians do? We treat them like they've had leprosy. And even if they repent and try to get right, we just kind of keep our distance. Can you stand beside people like that? Here's another question. Have you proven to be comfort to people who are hurting, who have experienced loss of some kind, and been able to say something or do something that's been helpful? Do you have the courage to warn a teenager or another believer that their actions are bringing reproach to the name of Christ or a bad decision, a bad path for them in the long run? Those are some, I mean, if your heart resonates with some of these, you probably have the gift of exhortation. And what a blessing these folks are to the church. You know, if we didn't have people like this, there's no way the pastor can keep up with all the things that need to be said and encouraged. This pastor tries to encourage. Most of you in this church have received a card or a personal note from me almost every year, at least on your birthday, if not, because I'm trying to do this. But we ought to always be thinking, all of us, right, about doing this. What a blessing it is to the church when we're encouraging or doing what Hebrews chapter 10, verse Is it 24? Provoking one another unto love and good works. Encouraging one another to do the right thing. All right. What's an exhorter? An exhorter is speaking in, calling alongside, helping someone, encouraging them, and sometimes even warning them, speaking up about the danger they're about to get into. Let me finish this way. Can you tolerate one more thing? Here we go. Settings or where you might find an exhorter doing his ministry. I've already hinted at the fact I really think this ministry gift is really done more one-on-one. It's the note in the mail. It's the text that you send. It's the word that you say. It's over a meal that you encourage somebody. It's one-on-one. But beyond that, let's talk about settings in which you might find a person with the gift of exhorting, ministering. First one, counseling. I think the counseling room is where you exhorting really takes place. It's somebody sitting down with a Bible and helping somebody with a particular problem to make the right decisions in their particular situation based on what God's Word says. Helping them follow God's Word, exhorting them. An exhorter is looking for occasions to put in a good word for the Lord with people who are struggling to find their way. Here's another. Let me keep moving. It's also consoling or comforting people when they're hurting or grieving. The exhorter is ready to step in and bring a meal when somebody's in need, or to sit with a family at the ER, or to go to the funeral home and help make the arrangements with the family. An exhorter thrives on passing on comfort he has received to the others around him. In fact, this is what 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation." What? God the Father comforts us that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Here's a great example I read in my file some years ago. I remember hearing about a lady. A lady lost her husband. Another lady drove several hundred miles and went into the home, put her arm around the widow, and then after just a few moments of sitting with her, got up and began to do the dishes and straighten up the house and, you know, sweep. And after she got everything pretty well in order, she said her goodbye, got in the car, drove several hundred miles back home. Later, the grieving widow said this. She said nothing did more than she to comfort me in my loss. Why? She was just there in my time of grieving, put her arm around me and served me and consoled me and comforted me. Well, here's another way that you might find an exhorter working. Counseling room, consoling somebody in a time of loss, befriending somebody. This goes back to the story of Ah Sing and the Justice Hughes that I mentioned. This is finding the odd man out, seeking to make him feel comfortable. His joy is making sure no one is left out. What a great asset to have. People come in here regularly. They don't all look like us or maybe necessarily immediately fit with us. But the person, I think, our greeters, what an important ministry that is. They're like their first line of exhortation. We're so glad to have you here. Can I help you find somebody? Let me introduce you to our pastor. And make somebody feel as comfortable as possible by befriending them. If they're all by themselves, say, "You can sit with me today. We've got an extra chair right here," so that the person doesn't feel alone. Big ministry that way. Here's another one, coaching. Letter D is coaching. I think exhorters end up being coaches. And there's even something called a life coach. How many of you have heard of an occupation called a life coach? Yeah, a life coach attempts to help people to get what they want out of life. A spiritual life coach helps a person to get out of life what God wants them to get out of life. And how we need spiritual coaches in the church, especially when somebody's going through a big medical crisis. And we have people like that in our church. Or those who are struggling in their marriages. Or how about those who are struggling with faith? Those who are not sure whether they ought to believe. Who's going to encourage them, exhort them to believe? How about those who are wondering whether it's still worth following God and living for Him? Exhortation, so important. See how necessary these kind of people are? In all these settings, I'm going to find an exhorter ministering encouragement to God's people. Please don't leave it all up to the pastor. One guy can't do it all. God has gifted some of you in these ways to serve in people's lives and to encourage them in the things they ought to be doing. Let me share a personal example, and then I'll give you another story, and then we're almost through, and I'll have this done in just about 30 minutes. All right. That's a record for me, right? Someone encouraged me like this as a coach, came alongside. He actually was a coach, part of our coaching staff in our Christian school, but he came on staff as a youth pastor. And our church at that time that I was attending decided it was going to start a bus ministry. They bought a big bus, a big yellow school bus. And they decided they're going to drive this around the neighborhoods and pick up people and bring them to church. How many of you have ever been to church with a bus ministry? Anybody? All right. So several of you are familiar with that. So we were just getting underway with this. And they had this big bulletin board in the back of the church on the wall. And it had a big picture of a bus. And all, you know, these little lines out. We need people to, you know, be bus captains. Some of you know what that is. And a bus runner. And we need people to be the bus instructor or entertainment. I forget what the name of that. But they had somebody that was constantly doing something with the kids to keep them settled as they were moving toward. So he had all these positions needed to run the bus ministry. I just went up, you know, casually looked at the billboard or the bulletin board, and my youth pastor came up and put his hand around my shoulder like this, right? And said, hey, we're going to get started with this. And you know what? Of all these things, I think you would be best at being a bus runner. And I said, I don't even know what a bus runner does. Do I run alongside the bus and try to keep up? And he said, no, a bus runner sits on the front, and when the bus makes a stop, the bus runner goes off of the bus, gets to the door, and gets the person ready and get them on the bus as quickly as possible so we can keep doing our route. I said, well, I can do that. I can run, and I'd be happy to do that. And so for the next 2 years before I graduated from high school, every Sunday morning, about an hour, maybe it was an hour and a half before anything got started at a church, I was at the church meeting. The bus was outside getting warmed up, getting that diesel engine going. In Pennsylvania, that's important, especially about, you know, 4 months out of the year. You got to get that diesel warmed up. And then we'd get on the bus, and I would bus run. And, you know, I did that because somebody encouraged me, you ought to do that. And I'm so glad I did. It exposed me to a number of people and ministry, and just endeared my heart, actually, to the ministry, which I'm still doing today. All right, every Christian in this church has a spiritual gift from the Lord, at least one, in which you're specially qualified to serve Jesus and to advance the cause of Christ. Now, what is it? Could it be an encourager, an exhorter, somebody coming alongside and encourage someone to do the right thing? I hope if you're so equipped that you'll make it your task to turn weary souls into winning saints. Let me finish with this story. It's not for me. I got it in a book. All right. Another man was visiting Rockefeller Center, New York City, during the wintertime, and went down to the rink, where you're familiar. You've seen pictures of this, no doubt, on the television at some point. And so the skaters are skating around, and he noticed one set of skaters. There was two of them, and one young gal, she was a little unsteady on her feet, but next to her was a much more experienced skater. And around the larger orbit, the girl was going. And then in the smaller orbit next to her was the more experienced skater, who just was really deft at feet and just moving around and doing classical figures and, you know, and just scooting around like it's nothing to it. She was obviously a little bit unsteady on her feet. And at one point, the author of the story said, I was looking down and I could see her hands start to go like she's about ready to, you know, lose it right there on the ice. And he dashed over, quickly put a hand under her elbow and righted her, and she didn't lose her footing. And she kept going. But she was obviously a little unsteady on her feet, and it happened again. And though he was skating, always had an eye on her. And as soon as she was a little bit unsteady, he'd reach, put a hand under her elbow, and lift her back to her feet. helping her maintain balance. What a wonderful picture, I think, of an exhorter. It's somebody that's always at the ready, who's been down the path a little bit further, a little bit more stable on their feet, sees somebody a little bit off balance, reaches over, holds them up. Sometimes it's an encouraging word. Sometimes it's a hand. But sometimes it's just being there to help when the person needs it. And you know what? Whether that's your gift or not, it really doesn't matter. We all ought to, all as Christians, do this kind of work, lifting one another and keeping them on their feet. May God help us. Father, thank you.